Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class with Sean Sullivan, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. We are a week away from the NFL draft. We are less than a week away from the Joe Bucks fan annual mock draft, and I'm very excited about that. It's one of my favorite podcasts of the year. Today, we're doing running backs and tight ends. We have a lot of information to get to, so I want to talk about Bill Curry Ford, and then I want to jump right into running backs so I can keep this at a certain time limit, because as you know, I try to make this the best 30 minutes in NFL football. But first, let's talk about the Curry family, a third generation family business, soon to be fourth generation, I believe, serving the Tampa Bay community with every single automotive need there could possibly be. And right now, we're fighting tariffs. When I say fighting tariffs, we're cooperating with tariffs because the customer actually gets a better price than pre-tariff economy. I want you to think about that for a second. Everyone was worried about passing on tariffs and expenses, and I did an ABC News exclusive for them to talk about my opinion on tariffs, and it was contrarian to a lot of people, and I'm like, well, my experience is the only thing I can talk about, and my experience is right now, prices are lower than pre-tariffs. Right now, with employee pricing, 90 days deferred, the better interest rates than we had for this these interest rates are prior to the inflation that we've experienced the last 4 years. We're talking about several cuts by the Fed. Insurance rates are dropping. More mortgages are going to be done and more auto loans are going to be done. That's the way this works. So pricing plus deferred payments plus low interest rates equals lots of business, right? And right now you can buy a car while supplies last. While I have these vehicles left, I have leftover 24s. I have leftover 25s. You can visit BillCurryFord.com and you can see what I have left. You need to grab it right now. Also, if you have a car for sale, like if you're thinking about it, hey, you know, maybe I have a car I'm not using or I'm ready to make an upgrade, I will buy your car. You don't have to do one thing with me. Right? I will just buy it for you, pay you top dollar. I will pay you over Kelly Blue Book value for it because I need vehicles. That's how busy we are. I am running out of vehicles. I need your car. If you're thinking about it, at least bring it in. Let me look at it. I will give you the best price you could possibly get for your car, and we can talk Bucks football. No problem. Also, you can go online and visit our service BDC, which is our Business Development Center. They will create an appointment for you for pickup and delivery, which is free, or mobile service to your home, which is also free, or your business. Right now, mobile business is huge right now with fleet accounts. Businesses are like, oh, we can get our cars serviced before 7 a.m., before our cars even go on the road for, let's just say, your Verizon or your Amazon, which we have the Amazon account. If you have cars on the road all day, you don't want to take them off the routes to do service, right? Well, our mobile service gets there at 5 a.m., knocks all the cars out. These cars are on the road, just like we did with first responders during COVID. You know, I want to talk about that for 1 second. Our amazing employees worked many, many hours when everyone else was home, you know, in their home because they were worried. And that's your prerogative. Our guys were in that shop making sure that first responders, police cars, fire trucks, ambulances were on the road taking care of Tampa. And that's what I want you to know about us. At the end of the day, we take care of our community. Tampa means everything to us and as the Curry family. And I can tell you this, no one serves their community better than the Curry family. So visit us at BillCurryFord.com. Follow us at all of the social media sites, Bill Curry Ford Tampa, et cetera, et cetera. All right, let's jump into running backs. Now, this is a really interesting running backs class because it has a couple of really terrific running backs. And then the rest are kind of like, okay, running backs. So everybody says, oh, Sean, the running back depth, the depth. The depth is terrific. I'm not going to say, but here's the thing. The running backs you're going to get in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round are all in the same genre. They're all in the same rating system. So it's really just in what you prefer for your offense, right? So if you run a zone blocking scheme, there's going to be a certain running back you're looking at. If you run power like the Bucks, you're going to, you know, want somebody like Bucky Irving. So again, it's going to be all in what your offense is doing, except for these first few guys. These first few guys, one of them especially, we're going to talk about Ashton Jeanty out of Boise State, 5'8", 211, ran a 4.42. This is a generational guy. This is a guy that changes the offense like a Saquon Barkley, like a King Henry, like a Bucky Irving, like a Josh Jacobs. I mean, these are guys that make a huge difference in the game. And that's where we're going to start. But again, I'm going to tell you the difference between a generational guy and then guys that are going to play in the NFL. They're going to be running back by committee guys. And we have a lot of running back by committee guys. They're going to have great NFL careers, but they're not going to change a playoff game, say like a Jahmyr Gibbs did against the Bucs when he breaks a 42-yard touchdown run to win the game. So things like that where you're going to have coaches, head coaches right now looking for their Jahmyr Gibbs, and that's going to be, you know, a Sean Gente. So again, 2,601 rushing yards, which is pretty amazing, 29 TDs, 23 receptions for 138 yards. Elite contact balance, sheds tackles with ease, doesn't go down on first tackle. Does that sound familiar for the Bucs fans? Elite vision anticipation, consistently finds and exploits gaps, rare combination of burst and long speed. He has amazing hands, workhorse capability. He's a three-down back. Advanced pass protection skills, diagnosis blitzes, can protect his quarterback. Runs with exceptional pad level and leg drive. Consistently falls forward and finishes runs. Game breaker who elevates his play in crucial moments. This guy, when the game is on the line, will break a long run to win the game. I mean, that's what you get with him. He is a generational talent. I watched the tape of him. It's so much fun to watch. You know, he's not one of my favorite running backs. I'm just going to put that out there. But he is definitely an NFL starter, you know, who's going to be a star in the NFL. I think this guy is going to be a household name, no question. When I watch him run, though, I don't know what it is. He's just not my favorite runner. But I get it. I mean, the guy's a difference maker. You know, the Raiders are all over him. The Broncos are all over him. The Bears are all over him. So, I mean, you have teams that are going to draft this guy. This guy's going in the first round. His average draft position is 6. I believe that the Raiders are 6. So that's pretty much where he continues. I believe that the money right now is, for Vegas money, it's 58% that he gets drafted by the Raiders is what everybody's betting on. But that's Ashton Gente. If you want to, there's really not much else to say about him. Go to YouTube. You can watch him. He's phenomenal. I think he's going to have a long career in the NFL as long as he stays healthy. Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina is my second running back. 6'2", 221. Much different type of running back than Gente, right? Obviously much bigger, plays with strength, plays with power, also has speed at 4.46, had 1,600 rushing yards, 15 TDs, 38 catches for 373 yards. He's violent at contact. This guy will run through you or run around you. It doesn't matter. He has a natural feel for pressing the line and getting skinny through tight creases. Reminds you a little bit of Le'Veon Bell in that way. Runs with outstanding pad leverage and generating power from his lower half. He has an elite burst when he's hitting the hole. This guy doesn't need a running start to explode out of the line of scrimmage. He just needs a small hole, and he's going to power his way through. Now, the thing about him is he's not a small guy. This is a big guy. So when you see a big guy moving with that kind of speed, it kind of takes the linebackers. They're going to sit back on their heels a little bit and go, we're not going to go up and attack this guy. We're just going to wait for him to come to him, which means yards, right? That's going to mean that this guy's going to get some yards because I don't think the linebackers are coming up to attack him. I think they're going to wait. They're going to put their heels in. They're going to make a solid tackle because if you don't, he's going to run through you, around you. He can go over you. We're going to talk about his vertical in a second and his broad jump. But this guy is an athletic beast who put it all on the field. This is one of those rare combinations where you look at his RAS score and then you look at his production and it matches. And you're like, okay, this guy is about as good as it gets that you could draft safely. This guy's most likely going to be a Denver Bronco. That's where the money is right now. The Denver's all over him. His RAS score is 9.70 out of 10, which is pretty amazing. 9.38 chins. His arms are just under 31 inches. We talked about his height and weight. He had 18 bench press of 225. His 40-yard dash at 4.48 for his size was elite. 20-yard split at 2.57, elite. 10-yard split at 1.53, 92 percentile elite. His vertical at 38 was elite. Broad jump at over 10 feet, 9.92, elite. Unbelievable athletic testing for him. His average draft position is 22. Again, the money is this guy's going to be a Denver Bronco. You're going to see him running behind Bo Nix. And I can't wait to do the quarterback breakdown because I'm going to toot my horn a little bit on Bo Nix. I was right on Bo Nix. So if you want to go back and listen to Best in Class Quarterback Breakdown last year, I said six quarterbacks were going to go in the first round. Six quarterbacks went in the first round. I said there's stars in here. There were stars. And I can tell you that I didn't understand why Bo Nix was considered a second-round draft pick. I said, this guy is a franchise quarterback. He's and Sean Payton, who met with Ira Kaufman, couldn't stop talking about how much he loved Bo Nix. So, again, the quarterback whisperer did it again. So let's move on to my third guy. I'm telling you right now, this is going to shock a lot of people. If you're following the draft, if you're following the guys, it's going to shock you a little bit. But I'm telling you, there's something special about Cam Scataboo. I'm telling you, he's 5'10", 219 pounds out of Arizona State. He ran a 4.65 40. You're like, Sean, he ran a 4.65. Yeah, he's not a speed demon. He's not going to, that's not what he does. He runs you over with amazing contact balance. That right arm goes into the ground and he cuts. If you watch him over and over and over again, when he gets hit, he has this amazing ability to plant his arm or his knee sideways, almost like a plastic man, where he's like, he's not going down on contact, and he runs, and then he gets up, and then he runs through you. And by the way, he delivers blows, puts his head down. You know, I've always wondered why it's illegal for a defensive player to hit an offensive player with their helmet, but it's not illegal for an offensive player to hit the defensive player with his helmet straight on. I don't understand it, but when you watch Cam play, he spears people all day long with his helmet. Just puts his head down, pow, spear, pow, spear. It's like, you're like, okay, that's pretty amazing that's a rule where the offensive player can do it. But if you want to watch some of the best tape, put on Cam Scataboo. You would be like, oh my gosh, this guy looks like one guy, Earl Campbell, John Riggins, two guys. I shouldn't say one guy. That he's got a very similar style. He's not as big as those guys, but I'm telling you, he runs with this amazing violence. And it's really fun to watch. He had 1,700 yards rushing, 6 yards a carry, 21 TDs. Oh, and by the way, he might be the best hands for a pass catcher in the draft with 45 for 605. The guy doesn't drop balls. His hands are like wide receiver hands. This guy is so much fun to watch. Isn't that what football at the end of the day, guys? Isn't that what it's all about, is entertainment? Aren't you entertained by watching the game? It's fun to see all these great athletes, yes. It's fun to see the behind-the-scenes stuff where, you know, where there's some beefs or there's some coaching stuff or I used to play for this guy. I love all the drama, for sure. But sometimes you just watch a player and you just have fun watching him. It, like, brings out the kid in you, right? This guy is like that. He runs with tremendous forward lean, natural leverage, consistently falling forward through contact. His NFL comparisons, Maurice Jones-Drew. Elite contact balance. When I say elite contact balance, no one else has anything like it that I've seen. In one game, he broke 12 tackles for 262 yards. Patient runner who sets up blocked effectively, showing discipline to let players develop before hitting the hole. So not only that, he waits for the offensive play to open up. He waits for his gap to open up. So patient runner. He doesn't have that burst. There is going to be no burst with him. It's just, I'm going to run through you, and you're going to have to stop me. Now, how does that translate to the NFL? No one knows. I don't care who they are, what they say they do for a living. No one could tell how this translates. The only thing you can say is right now, this guy can do this. And we're going to see in the NFL how it works. His athletic RAS score, his vertical at 40, was elite. That put him at 9.59 percentile. That was one of the best in the entire draft. His broad jump over 10 was elite, which is pretty amazing. Now, I already talked to you about his 40-yard dash at 4.65. Not terrific. One of the very worst. Don't care. I don't care about his overall speed. Like, Bucky Irving, guys, one of the things they talked about Bucky Irving, he didn't have an amazing 40 time. So there's a guy right now out of Oregon, another one of Bucky's teammates, Tez Johnson, that did not have a good 40 time, but he's a little 5'8", little smallish guy. And they're like, well, if he doesn't have the speed and burst, he's not going to be a good player in the NFL because of his size. We'll see, right? These athletic profiles is just a piece of the player. It's not everything. There are plenty of players. Some of the top safeties in the draft have some of the worst athletic profiles I've ever seen. Malachi Starks is one of them. Not terrifically athletic, not doesn't have terrific speed either. But somehow, you know, he's going to be one of the top safeties drafted because sometimes the player outplays their athletic profile. We've seen it a lot. This is one of those guys. His draft position at 72 is top of the third round. If this guy falls to the third round, it's just such a steal for some team. And yes, he's my third overall running back. I know that sounds crazy, but before you say I'm crazy, put on the tape, right? My number four overall running back is Trevion Henderson out of Ohio State. 5'10", 202, 443, had 1,000 yards rushing, 7 yards per attempt, 10 touchdowns, 27 receptions for 284 yards. He has elite acceleration. Of course, he has top end speed as well. Has a terrific burst. He has a masterful at running a run tempo. So he can go slow, he can go fast. I did see that on tape some. I think it's a little overdone. I think there are some times where I think he should have hit the hole harder, faster. He probably would have gained more yardage. And then sometimes you pick right. Sometimes, just like if you don't play your gap correctly, sometimes you do guess right, and it looks like this great play. And then other times you guess wrong, and the guy runs right down the field, Joe Tryon. Natural pass protector who squares up and anchors with surprising power for his size, consistently stonewalling blitzers in one-on-one situations. So this guy's NFL ready for a pass protector. I like him as far as the Ohio. There's two Ohio State running backs we're going to talk about. I like him a little bit better. His RAS score, 887, isn't bad. 9.5-inch hands, 31-inch arms. His 40-yard dash was elite at 4.43. His vertical at 38.5 was elite, and his broad jump over 10 was elite. He hits the little check boxes on the athletic profile. They have him as a top of the second round guy. My next guy is Caleb Johnson out of Iowa, 6'1", 224, ran a 4.57, had 1,500 rushing yards, 6.4 yards per carry, 21 rushing yards, 22 receptions for 188 yards. Masterful tempo control behind the line, presses holes with practice patience, devastating plant and go ability for his size, showcased repeatedly against Minnesota with 3 scores, including a 40-yard home run. Natural forward lean and low pad level, consistently moving forward. This is a guy that's considered a top of the second round draft guy. This guy reminds me of, I'm going to compare him because obviously David Montgomery, you know, same college, but Caleb Johnson reminds me a little bit of his running style. I think they're coached very similarly too, and they run a similar run offense. Caleb Johnson, I think, is a solid running back. Again, I don't think that he's spectacular, but I find him to be very intriguing. I think he's a starter in the NFL. I just don't think that he's the upper echelon starter. Number six, Quinshon Judkins out of Ohio State, 6 foot, 221, 448, 40, 1,000 rushing yards, 5.5 yards per rush, 14 rushing TDs, 22 receptions, 161 receiving yards. Here's a guy that a lot of people are super high on. I mean, I think he's a starter in the NFL or a guy by running back committee. I don't see star like a lot of the pundits do. I actually saw some more traits in Trayvon than I saw in Judkins, but that's my opinion. I think this guy gets a lot more hype. He has great contact balance for sure. He does break some tackles. He does have terrific top-end speed, and he has good burst. I'm not a super fan that he breaks a lot of contact. Some of the running backs we talked about above are unbelievably at breaking tackles. He's more of a stiff arm guy who can get to the outside, tries to use technique to break tackles rather than just having the leg drive to push him up. He does have amazing vision. He's going to run a zone block scheme in the NFL for sure. And I think he's got a lot of patience when he's running that zone scheme, which is super important. Here's a guy that's interesting because, like I said, I don't think he's a star. I know a lot of people think he's a star. I didn't see that. I think he's a very good back for like a team like the Denver Broncos. I think that'd be very interesting. I think the San Diego Chargers would be very interesting for him. His RAS score at 990 is off the charts. So athletically, obviously, tests extremely well. 9-inch hands, 30-inch arms. His weight at 221 was great. He did the bench press 24 times, which was elite. Very strong, very compact guy. His vertical at 38.5 matched a lot of the top running backs. And it was elite. His broad at 11 was elite at 993. Had one of the best broad jumps at 40-yard dash we just talked about. His 20-yard split at 261 put him in a great at 8.12. Percentile. So 990, that's really, really high athletically score. He was very highly recruited to Ohio State, 5-star recruit. So he's got a lot of pedigree, a lot of people behind him. I personally think that he could have done more. They have him as the top of the second round. So he might be a better NFL running back than he was a college running back, and we'll see. My next guy is going to surprise some people at number seven, and that's RJ Harvey out of UCF. No one in college football kept this guy under 6 yards a rush for his career. That's pretty incredible if you think about it. His height isn't terrific at 5'8", but he's 205, solidly 205, ran a 4.440, had 1,500 rushing yards, 6.8 yards a rush. He had 22 touchdowns, 20 receptions for 267 yards. I just think the NFL is overlooking this guy. There's something interesting about RJ. He's in our backyard. I got to watch him a lot. I think he's special. Elite lateral quickness, jump cut ability. He makes defenders miss in tight spaces. Exceptional contact balance, which is super important. He has blazing speed when he hits the hole. If you don't get your hands on him, he will run it to the end zone. He is a home run hitter. His RAS score, 8.49. 9-inch hands, 29-inch arms. So his arms are a little short for me. But that, again, it goes with his 5'8 height, right? So all of his composite size grades are going to be below, are going to be poor. But here's where he's elite. His vertical, elite at 38. His broad, elite at over 10. His 4.4 speed was one of the best, fastest running backs in the draft. That was elite. 20-yard split, 2.54, elite. 10-yard split at 1.52, elite. So again, at 8.49, that's pretty solid athletic testing for RJ. I'm more amazed at how he just consistently gets over 6 yards a carry. It's just like when you're watching, you're like, okay, there's nothing there. Then he squeezes through and gets it. Then you're like, and then all of a sudden, he bursts through the hole for a home run. There's something special about RJ Harvey. I hope he finds his place in the NFL. I hope he gets the opportunity that he deserves. His average draft right now is 106, which is fourth round. I think that's super low for him, but it is what it is when you play UCF, right? My number eight guy, Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee, 5'8". 4.42, runs 200, weighs 200 pounds, had 1,500 rushing yards, 5.8 yards a rush. He had 22 touchdowns, which is excellent. 20 receptions for 143 yards. Again, another guy with, because of that 4.4 speed, exceptional burst through the hole, has a second gear. He was clocked at 23 miles an hour in games, which is amazing. Shows advanced zone read patience and decision making. He presses the line before hitting his cuts with precise timing and burst, creates yards beyond blocking. He has that nasty jump cut that Bucky Irving has. It's pretty similar. So when you watch Dylan Sampson run, you're going to see Bucky Irving in that first jump cut. It's pretty similar style. His RAS score at 6.59 is pretty low. Again, that has to do with his size at 5'8". He only had 13 reps on the bench press. His broad jump over 10, though, was elite. And his 40-yard draft time was elite at 4.4. 20-yard split at 2.59 was elite as well. Hand size, he's got small hands, small arms. And again, but when you watch him on film, this guy might shock some people. Again, he's a running back by committee guy. I don't think he's a three-down back in the NFL. But he's got some intriguing athletic stuff going on there, especially with that home run speed. Again, he's a third-round back. My pick number nine is Devin Neal out of Kansas, 5'11", 213, 4.58, 1,200 yards rushing, 5.8 yards a carry, 16 rush touchdowns, 24 receptions for 254 yards. He has a quick first step with legitimate breakaway speed. He turns routine plays into chunk gains when he finds daylight. He had 115 career runs of 10-plus yards, which is phenomenal. Natural feel and zone schemes, one-cut guy. So basically does through the zone, sees where he wants to go, does the one cut, and then runs as fast as he can to that point. So this is a guy that's going to try to get you that 4 yards of carry in the NFL. He changes directions east to west extremely well, so he can move inside the hole. He doesn't have a RAS score. Here's a guy that I got to watch a lot of his games. He is a senior. He plays several teams that I was watching. What he does extremely well is he quietly gets his yards until he does some type of breakaway run where he kind of lulls you to sleep with the 4 yard run, 4.5 yard run. Tough running, don't get me wrong. Slow, and then bang, he's gone. So it's like he's one of those guys that kind of sets you up, and then runs it, and then nails the play. Average draft position is 87, third round. Interesting prospect for sure. Trevor Etienne is my number 10 running back out of Georgia, former Florida Gator, 5'9", 198 pounds, 4.42, had 600 rush yards, 5 yards a carry, 9 rush TDs, 32 receptions, 194 yards. The guy, I don't know what kind of locker room guy this guy is, but he has talent to play in the NFL for sure. I really, really like some of his running style. I think his production, he got hurt, obviously. He missed a lot of games with Georgia, but when he was in there, he was productive. He has elite vision as a running back, which is something that you really can't teach. It has to be natural. He has terrific backside cutbacks. He anticipates linebacker play, changes direction without gearing down, maintains elite speed through cuts with exceptional balance and control, remarkable, reliable hands. He's unbelievable at catching the ball. He had one drop in his entire career from catching the ball on 63 targets. Obviously, he started very young. He's very, very well coached. His brother is obviously, you know, an NFL star, so that's the way it goes. But he obviously has a lot of good coaching. He also can process blitzes. He's going to be terrific in protection right away and understanding protection. I don't know if he has the great size for protection, but he's going to understand it a lot. His RAS score at 6.94, we'll go over this, 9.5-inch hands, 30-inch arms. The reason why his score is so low is just because his height at 5'8 is below average and his weight's below average at 198. He did bench 225 15 times. His broad over 10 feet was 8.90. 4.4 speed, though, is elite. 20-yard split at 2.58, elite. 10-yard split, 1.54, elite. His 3-cone at 7.20 was not terrific at 4.56. So that really hurt his score at his 6.94. Here's a guy that I think is just being underrated. If he can stay healthy, I think he adds something as a third-down back in the NFL. His average draft position is 123, round 4. My next guy is Jordan James out of Oregon. 5'10", 205. Ran a 4.5 40, 1,200 yards rushing, 5.4 yards per carry, had 15 touchdowns, 26 receptions for 209 yards. This is a guy really fun to watch. He absolutely blows right through the line with this burst that's it kind of takes you back for a second. You're like, he doesn't have the long speed for that, but his short quickness is pretty amazing. He doesn't have negative plays as a running back. That's something you got to pay attention to. He fights his way, when he gets hit behind the line of scrimmage, he fights his way back to the line of scrimmage. I love that effort that he plays with. He displays veteran-level patience, pressing the line of scrimmage, allows blocks to develop before exploding through creases. Lateral agility jumps off tape with sudden direction changes that leave linebackers grasping for air. Sound familiar? Yes, because he has a great jump cut. Another guy that you think he's there, the linebacker shoots to the hole, and he's not in the hole anymore. He's somewhere else. That's Jordan James. Very interesting prospect. At 5.4 yards a carry, I really thought this guy showed that he should have been better than he was in college. I think a lot of it has to do with that long speed. He doesn't have the long speed, and I think that's what really hurts Jordan James, because if he was a 4.4 guy, I really think that he would be special when you watch him on tape. Interesting prospect. Fourth round mock draft grade on him. My next guy is Breshard Smith, 5'10", 194 out of SMU. He ran a 4.39 40, had 1,300 rushing yards, 5.7 yards per rush. Now, getting back to R.J. Harvey, I just want to tell you again, R.J. Harvey was 6.8 yards last year rushing. He was over 6 yards his career. Phenomenal for those who follow college football. Rushing TDs, 14. Receptions, 39. Receiving yards, 327. Explosive acceleration, elite top-end speed, of course, at 4.39. That's elite. Natural hands from his receiver background. Was a former receiver, now running back. He can do a lot of things. I think this is a really terrific third-down back. Exceptional vision, demonstrated by successful kick return. With the new kick return rules, I think Breshard Smith is going to find his way onto a team, get into rotation on third down, maybe some bubble screens, et cetera, et cetera. And then he's probably going to return some kicks and some punts for a team. His average draft position is 147, fourth round. I do like the 5'10", 194 for 4.39. That's a really good combination. He's not 5'8". I know that 2 inches sounds ridiculous, but in the NFL, it makes a huge difference. My next guy is Damian Martinez out of Miami, 6 foot, 217, ran a 4.5, 40, 1,000 yards rushing, 6.3 yards a rush average, which is extremely hard to do. So again, I have to recognize that. 10 rushing touchdowns, 17 receptions for 204 yards. He's a bruising runner with excellent contact balance and power to break tackles consistently. Very similar to Cam in that aspect. Displays rare patience for a big back, allowing blocks to develop with deliberate press. Possesses exceptional balance through contact. Shows impressive vision when navigating interior running lanes. This is a guy that fits what the Baltimore Ravens do right now, is this Damian Martinez guy. He's got a fourth round grade on him right now, so that's really an interesting guy. But don't sleep on this guy. I'm a little close to him because I watched so much Cam Ward tape at UM, and I watched Arroyo and some of the wide receivers. So I got the chance to watch a lot of him, and he just – the thing is, he's not flashy. The guy averaged 6 yards a carry, and he's not flashy because he just gets the yards. He's just one of those guys that falls forward, and then he kind of pushes the linebackers back and just gets his yards. He's just a solid running back in the NFL. I think he's going to be fine. Even though he's a fourth-round grade, I think he finds a place in the NFL. Late sleepers. Let's talk about some guys that aren't going to make like the mock, you know, draft top three, four, even the fifth round. But Jaden Blue out of Texas. I watched a lot of Texas tape because they have a lot of players in the NFL. And Clarius Tate Barron is one of the guys that the Bucs are looking at corner. But if you at 5'9", 196, he ran a 4.38 40. Had 730 rushing yards, over 5 yards a carry, 8 touchdowns, 42 receptions for 368 yards. This is a third down back that can take it to the house. Given the right circumstances with the right setup, no one's going to touch this guy on a screen. Explosive acceleration, hits a top gear with a blink, can turn a crease into 6 points with legitimate 4.3 speed. Has a springy bounce cuts that allow him to flash into adjacent gaps when the designated hole isn't there, making him dangerous on zone concepts. Again, this guy's not breaking tackles. He's easy to get to the ground if you can get your hands on him. This is a north-south guy. Like I said, given the right circumstances, the ball's going into the end zone with Jaden Blue. I think, you know, he's a seventh-round grade or a free agent guy because of his size and the fact he's basically a north and south runner. He needs that little seam to get up the field. We'll see if somebody finds, but I think he has some special teams play. I think someone's going to make him return some kicks, but we'll see how it goes for Jaden Blue. But I think he's a guy that you need to keep an eye on just because there's not many guys that can take a ball to the end zone from anywhere on the field if it's blocked correctly. This guy can. You're not going to touch him, that he's that fast. But another guy, and this guy came to me from Emory Hunt. When I was at the Combine, Emory Hunt sat down with Joe Buck's fan and did a podcast, and I was there, and then I got to have some one-on-one with Emory Hunt, and we discussed some players. One of his players that he really liked was this Marcus Yarns, running back out of Delaware. He's like, Sean, why don't you watch some tape on him? He's 5'11", 193, 4'5", 40. He had 844 yards. But here's the thing, though. 6.3 yards a carry. Again, I watch for that six number because it's a very good indicator that you're going to be an NFL running back. Six rushing touchdowns, 17 receptions, 297 receiving yards. Now, it is a little bit different at Delaware than it is in the SEC, averaging 6 yards a carry. I get that. So some of these small town running backs can fool you. But I did watch the tape, like Emory Hunt asked, and this guy's a very interesting athletic running back. Devastating initial burst through the hole, hits a top gear in a hurry, outpaces second-level defenders when he sees daylight. Natural hands who plucks the ball away from his frame. He shows advanced route running, which is very rare for a running back. Exceptional straight-line acceleration. He was tracked at 23 miles per hour in game action. That's NFL speed. Turning routine runs into explosive plays when he finds a crease. Hence the 6 yards per carry. But anyway, Marcus is a guy that's most likely going to be a free agent running back. This is a guy that I think Jason Light should bring into camp. I think it'd be really interesting to see him. Again, that's Marcus Yarns out of Delaware. I did see what Emory Hunt saw. He thinks he's a sleeper running back. Some teams might have him on a draft board. He might go late in the draft. But again, here's a guy with a terrific athletic profile, great size, and great production in college. Taj Brooks out of Texas Tech, 5'9", 214, 4'5", 40. This is another guy that I think is going to sneak onto a roster somehow. Had 1,500 rushing yards, over 5 yards of carry. Had 17 rushing touchdowns. Had 200 yards receiving on 28 catches. His frame, he looks like a little tiny Doug Martin. So he looks like Doug Martin. Supremely compact frame creates natural leverage and power contact balance. Defenders consistently slide off his low center of gravity and struggle to square up on him cleanly. So it's hard to get a clean hit on him. Displays exceptional vision and uncanny ability to identify cutback lanes and anticipate holes before they develop. He sees the field with veteran clarity. Here's a guy that could be a low-end draft pick or a free agent. He has some special teams value, and I think there's something interesting about him. He played at Texas Tech. He's fun to watch. He's hard to get hands on, hard to tackle. I think there's something there with him. I think he's worth a camp look. I think this is a guy some teams are going to see if they can find a spot for him. Now, as far as the running back that the Bucs actually interviewed, I could only find one that they actually did a formal interview on. And then I tried to find information on him. It's really hard. This guy's name is Penny Boone out of UCF. 6'1", 232 pounds. Big guy. Big running back. 4.6940. Last year, he played fullback, had 208 yards rushing. So I'm like, why would the Bucs interview this guy? Like, I'm trying to figure out who this guy is. What about him would make them waste an interview on him? And I'm like, you know, not a really terrific athletic profile. Very little production at UCF last year with R.J. Harvey. Here's the really interesting thing. In 2022, he transferred from Maryland to Toledo. In 2023 at Toledo, he was the MAC Offensive Player of the Year. He rushed for 1,400 yards and 15 touchdowns, which was number one. He won Offensive Player of the Year in the MAC. In January, something happened. I have no idea what happened, but he transferred to Louisville. I'm assuming it was an NIL deal, or Louisville needed a top running back. He probably got paid to leave Toledo because there'd be no reason for him to leave Toledo. Then he went to Louisville and didn't play. So you're talking about a guy that had 1,400 rushing yards the year before and 15 touchdowns, who was the player of the year, and he didn't get on the field at Louisville. Something happened. He re-entered the portal, went to USF, and finished his degree quietly with 200 and rushing yards at 6 yards a carry and 2 rushing touchdowns. Very interesting guy. What did the Bucs know about this guy, huh? What do they know? They know 2 years ago he was one of the top running backs in college football in the MAC. They know that. They know he's big and strong. At 232 pounds, this is a big physical running back. They know that he can catch, and they know he can score touchdowns around the red zone with 15 rushing touchdowns. Then I'm interested to know during that interview, they probably asked him what happened, and he probably told them, and it's not public knowledge. So very interesting, a little bit of like Sherlock Holmes going on with Penny Boone. And again, the only guy the Bucs interviewed. This guy could be a guy they invite to camp, and he might surprise some people. We'll see. Let's move on to some tight ends. Tyler Warren's the number one tight end, 6'6", 256, 4'6", 840 out of Penn State. This is my Gronk comparison. This guy is a stud. This guy's going to be an amazing player in NFL. You saw what I talked about Brock Bowers last year. I said Brock Bowers is a star. I said Brock Bowers is going to change an offense. He's going to be incredible. He's a wide receiver and a tight end body. All he did was set the NFL records for tight ends and became a star for the Raiders with over 1,000 yards of carry. So congratulations to Brock Bowers. Tyler Warren's a little bit different because Tyler Warren has exactly the same receiving profile, except that Tyler Warren is more of a violent blocker than Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is an excellent blocker. Tyler Warren is a violent blocker. To me, it's a little bit different. Tyler Warren has exceptional awareness against zone coverage. He always finds soft spots on third down. He's a dynamic weapon after catch. If he gets running after the catch, good luck. Good luck trying to take him down because he has these long strides, eats up a lot of yards, gets through, and then the defensive backs are like, yeah, I don't want to tackle this guy. He has a former QB, so he has a tremendous football IQ for diagnosing coverages pre-snap. So he has already been trained in that. Dangerous seam runner with acceleration to stack defenders. He's a red zone nightmare who boxes out smaller defenders, high points, body control, strong hands, make him unstoppable. Again, he had eight receiving TDs, 1,200 yards. And on 104 receptions in a Penn State offense. The really interesting thing is the Bucs made a formal interview of him. His average draft position is 9, but I think the Bucs were thinking, what if the top tight end falls to 19? We want to do our due diligence. Or maybe they were talking to Tyler about some people he played against or some Penn State talent. As you know, there's several Penn State guys that are coming out this year that might interest the Bucs. Now, number two guy I got to meet at the Combine, and that's Colston Loveland. Very nice guy, 6'6", 248, ran a 4.7 40, 56 receptions, 582 yards, 5 touchdowns. Really professional young man, interviewed extremely well. He's very polished, exceptional athlete with a position who plays like an oversized receiver, fluid movement skills, acceleration, jump off tape against Ohio State and Alabama, has amazing hands, nasty route runner, and then he has a basketball background, which really shows in his athleticism. This is a guy that Vegas has going to the Indianapolis Colts. I also have him mocked there to the Colts. The Colts haven't had a tight end in a very long time. That's the number one thing you could do for your quarterback is to get them a solid tight end. Colston Loveland is an instant starter in the NFL and who would help any NFL team. The really amazing thing about him is when he runs in the seam, he looks like a wide receiver. It looks like that he literally is about to make a cut like a receiver, and you realize, my gosh, this kid is 6'6", 248, a lot different than a wide receiver. His average draft position is number 17. Again, I think this guy's going to be a Colt. My next guy is going to surprise some people. At number 3, I have Harold Fannin Jr. out of Bowling Green. Now, doesn't have terrific size. He's not a terrific blocker, but he's an amazing offensive weapon. I had to put him at 3, okay? He's only 6'3". Which is still fine, 241 pounds, which is a little light, but not terrible. We're not talking about light by 78 pounds. He's not like a smallish guy. He ran a 4.7 40, which isn't bad, as we talked about. Our last tight end ran a 4.7 out of Michigan. He had 117 receptions. I want you to think about that. 117 receptions for 1,555 yards, 10 receptions for TDs, 13.3 yards. Elite route running, technician who manipulates defenders with precise footwork, exceptional hands, unbelievable hands. He only had 2 drops on 171 career targets. He has a natural ability to get open. He beats linebackers with ease. He's dynamic after the catch with legitimate running back vision and instincts, led all tight ends with 873 yards after catch. Lee DeKemper would love this guy. 873 yards after catch, and he had 34 broken tackles in 2024. Again, the reason why he's not the number one tight end is because he's not a terrific blocker. That can be taught. That can be coached. Right now, his average draft position, second round, around pick 48. Bucks have pick 53. And guess who sat down with the Bucks? Harold did, in a formal interview. Really interesting that they interviewed this gentleman, because this could be a second round draft pick. If the Bucks want to pick an offensive weapon, this guy is an offensive weapon. The Bucks didn't interview this guy to talk about anybody else at Bowling Green. They interviewed him because they're interested in him as a player. I think he's phenomenal. When you watch him, again, he just looks like a wide receiver running up and down the field. What an amazing addition he would be to the Buccaneers offense. My next guy is Elijah Arroyo out of Miami. I got to watch a ton of tape on him. He is a lot of fun to watch. 6'5", 250 pounds, ran a 4.69 40, 35 receptions, 590 yards, 7 TDs. The reason why I liked him so much, he was a favorite of Cam Ward. When Cam Ward was talking about his 40 touchdowns that he threw at Miami last year, and he was talking about his overall play, threw for over 4,500 yards at Miami, had just a tremendous season, he just kept talking about Arroyo. He didn't talk about all these other players. He just kept talking about his tight end. My tight end, my tight end, my tight end. So you go back and you watch him and you're like, wow, this guy can run some routes. He can set up defenders. He's a devastating blocker. I thought, man, I look at him more and more. I fall more in love with him. He's got terrific hands. He can high point the ball. A lot of tight ends can't high point the ball because they're not as athletic. This guy can jump up, high point the ball, grab it, and bring it down with his hands. Violent hands. He can stretch the field. I know he only had a 4.69, but when you see him on the field, he's running past the linebackers. So obviously the athletic profile is different on the field than it is on a track, right? Because on the field, he's definitely fast enough. Here's a guy that I find very interesting. You should keep an eye on him. Right now, he's right around the Bucks. He's right below Harold Fannin in the draft. So around 55, second round. I find him to be a very interesting character. You know, he's got a really terrific build, but again, high points the ball, which is a little bit different, runs vertical routes, which is a little bit different, gets down the field. And the fact that Cam Ward just kept talking about him, I'm like, okay, so we know Cam Ward likes him. My next guy's Mason Taylor out of LSU, 6'5", 251, 4.65, 40, from Plantation, Florida. 55 receptions, 546, 2 receiving touchdowns, and 9.9 yards per catch. Interesting thing about this guy, devastating blocker, right? Has natural hands as a catcher, plucks the ball away, really great technique, extremely well coached, played in the SEC. He's terrific against zone. He's terrific on third down. He finds those soft spots in the zone. He's a terrific athlete. He can demonstrate small bursts. He can go east to west, not just north and south. He's a very smart player, and you can see it on the field. He sat down with the Bucks in a formal interview, and he's another second-round running tight end. I want you to think about it. The Bucks sat down with Mason Taylor. They sat down with Harold Fannin Jr., and then they sat down with Tyler Warren. The Bucks gave up three formal interviews on interviewing tight ends. I know that we haven't talked a lot about the fact that the Bucks might be interested in a tight end, but I find it odd that three formal interviews were with some of the top tight ends in the league. Could the Bucks surprise us with a second-round tight end? It's very, very possible. All right, that concludes my running back tight end podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope I gave you a bunch of information. Thank you for all the reviews you've been leaving me. Please leave me more on Apple. I love the Joe Bucks fan comments as well. Please have your friends follow me. That would be terrific. Email me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com if you have any questions or comments or draft questions. I'd be happy to go over it with you. Follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa, Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, whatever you guys want. You guys know all the social media sites. Again, employee pricing going on right now at Bill Curry Ford. Pricing is lower than tariffs. Don't worry. Drive Curry. Set up your mobile service and free pickup and delivery whenever you want from your home or your business. Again, I'll see you guys next time. We're going to do offensive guards and tackles. I'm also extremely excited about my mock draft with Joe Bucks fan. Can't wait to get that done. I'll see you guys next time.